We have been taught that perceptions are often wrong perception. And when we study the Diamond Sutra, there's also another sentence that when they sign, there is deception. So I hope that I will not deceive you. But if we believe that, then there may be chances that you can be. Well, not to say that I want that to happen, so please do not be yet. That was supposed to be a joke. And nobody is laughing. It is midnight here, so I can understand that I can be tired, but if you are tired at 12, then that's too early. One of the things that I have discovered, uncovered about myself is the death of a very close family member. I lost my uncle 10 days ago. And he used to be my my childhood buddy. I was 3 years younger than him, and my brother is 2 years younger than 1 year younger than myself. And the three of us, we used to live together. And being the older one, he was the also very creative and innovative in shaping up, inventing things, and we would be following his lead. But we spent a lot of time together, and he left Vietnam for America when I was 15, 14 years old. And after that, when I left to Canada, we did not have the chance to meet until very lately. I communicated with him again to say, I'm now in Vietnam, and it would be so nice if we could arrange to see one another. And we were to. It was on the plan. It didn't happen. It didn't manifest. And the news that I got was that a neighbor didn't see him for some days and called the police or someone to open the door to find him in his bathroom. Maybe after 3 or 4 days after his passing away alone. And with that happening, I looked into my old file and found a picture of him and me, my brother, my mother, and my father. And I must have been 5 years old, or no, 7 years old, or something like that, but we were a very cute young boy. And I have just sent the picture to Brother Antonio, and I don't know if Antonio can show it to us somehow in this or not. But I have been contemplating that picture for the last 10 days, meditating on the subject that we are speaking, sharing about today, birth and death. Looking at myself as a 5 or 7 years old boy, looking at my uncle as a 10 year old boy, my younger brother a little bit younger than us. One of us Not in the physique, in his, well, as a corpse now somewhere in Paris, waiting for his incineration, and we are still discussing about what to do with the remain, the ashes. Me sitting now here speaking with you. My brother in America. My father, ashes in somewhere outside of the Carolina in the Atlantic Ocean. My mother in Montreal. With a very bad backache, waiting for her third surgery or fourth surgery. And so my uncle passing away has been an occasion for me to contemplate impermanence, to contemplate interbeing and interdependence, to contemplate no birth, no death. And well, have is that you, Brother Antonio, who just put that up on my screen? Well, thank you.
Yes, brother, I put the
So
picture
this
up.
is the picture I have been mentioning to you about, and the two adults are my father and my mother. And if you remember last summer when we spoke. It was I have announced his death to you, and now I'm announcing another death. So out of the five people on the picture, with me being the cute little boy in the middle of the three toddlers, my uncle is the one on my right on the picture, and he's the one who has passed away. That I'm sharing with you about now. Yeah, thank you, brother.
You're welcome, brother.
So you may want to get back to your previous screen.
Are you able to see everybody now, brother?
I still have the picture on my screen, and I would like to get back to the previous screen that we had before the picture.
Yeah, I've closed it on my end. Maybe there's a delay. Hold on, stop showing screen. Let's see. How's that?
Yeah, this is good. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And in last week, a talk, Sister Lily mentioned about something that struck me as I was doing my contemplations. It is one thing to be studying. It is another thing to be reading. It is also something else to be speaking about the practice and sharing the practice. But the liberation, the realization, the freedom. It's something that comes with the practice. And in the Vietnamese saying, there are many saying about the two aspects of studying and practicing. Studying is not the proper word. We use the word tu han. Tu mean contemplating, transforming, and han mean practice. And the teaching is we cannot practice if we do not study, and we cannot just study and not practice. Now, how much do we need to study? How much do we need to practice? Is again a personal three dots. I have often spoken and advised us to not study too much and to not read too much, but to stick with the practice and it is still my belief and and the question again is when we are speaking about practice, what it is that we mean? So I have spoken with you about coming back to the present moment, making every moment a moment of happiness, and to be with that moment, in each moment during our daily life. That is one way for me to remember the three pillar of our practice, of our Thich Nhat Hanh teaching. I have also mentioned to you about having a plan for our daily practice, in order to be able to bring some time into our daily life for silent sitting, for a sutra reading, for deep looking. And by deep looking, I mean I'm practicing the type of guided meditation that Sister Lily has sent us with this pre-reader, this month pre-reader. So that is the part of the formal practice that, so there's the continuous, continuing 24-hour-a-day practice. There's the formal practice that would consist of our daily sitting, daily recitation, and guided meditation, self-guided meditation. And then there is the third a third aspect in the practice that is that goes with the moment by moment that I have just mentioned. If we are practicing according to the teaching of the Satipatthana Sutra, every moment is a moment of awareness, of awareness of the Hello, sister. Thưa chị. Lạnh quá hả chị? Must be so cold outside. And the lady who just stepped in that you can see on screen is my big sister, Phi Nhung. And she's a Dharma teacher in Montreal. She's always present. And who is waving in the back? Oh, okay, yeah, Brother Nam Chung Hu, another Dharma teacher in Montreal. Thank you, brother and sister, for your support. So to come back to our practice with the Satipatthana Sutra, each moment is a moment for us to be practicing with awareness of the body in the body. We practice walking meditation when we are walking. And walking meditation just meaning that we are aware of the position and of the actions and of the movement of our body. We do not walk to arrive. We walk knowing exactly what it is happening in the present moment. And in the same way, we are practicing with awareness of the three other foundation of our awareness. And when we are practicing awareness of the feelings of sensation, perception, and mental formations, one of the things that I wish that I be more able and better in doing is at watching at my habit energies. And lately, looking back at my life of practice and my few encounters with my teacher, I've seen how I could have let me share with you an example. It was some time in the early 90s, and I was spending some time in a summer retreat in Plum Village, and we were in the lower hamlet. And we were preparing ourselves for a formal meal where all the monastics and the OI brothers and sisters were assembling to prepare for the walking, for the arms around. So in Plum Village, when we practiced the formal meal, all the monastics are walking in practicing mindful meditation, mindful walking, lining up with the more senior one on the front and by order of seniority. And then after that would come the OI, the on. And I was a very young new OI and very excited to be part of the procession. And I don't know what role I had, but I was running in and out of the of the room where we were to prepare for our walking out. And Thay was there. So Thay was there with maybe 10 or 12 monks and some, I mean, the same number of nuns, and we must have been another 5 or 10 lay OI. And I came in I left my sandal outside, stepped into the room, and the Thai called me back and say, well, he was in the room, he saw me come in, left my sandal outside, stepping in, and he say, An Cheng Huy, you should put your sandals on the other side, because when you go out, you'll go out on the other side and you'll have to look for your sandal. And I bowed at him and I said, oh no, Thay, I'm just coming in and out because I still have things to do, etc. So I was very, very quick in answering, making up for an unmindful action that my teacher has seen and has very lovingly told me. Thầy just looked at me and nodded and smiled. And now I think back of that, I can see the love and compassion in his smile. And I could understand, and I can also see his deep understanding and generosity. Because now thinking back about that incident, I can tell you that I'm not very proud. You don't answer to your teacher when he's teaching you. You just take the lesson and you try to understand the lesson. And now thinking back, I can so very clearly see that my teacher lesson was stop, breathe, and smile. Because I was running like a chicken to prepare myself for the mindful meal. And he could have told me, Cheng Huy, you are so unmindful. Look at yourself. Behave or invite a bell or some things that we can see in some retreats. And so that is one of the practice that I could have done then. I'm learning now, and that I will try to remember and to bring into my daily practice. To listen. And the practice is about the practice of silence. Silence inside, silent outside, in order to be able to receive, to listen, to understand, and to take action. I will not have my teacher around anymore, in the sense that even when I see him now, he will be always surrounded by thousands of people, and I will not have a chance to receive any lesson from him as directly as I have had in the past. But those lessons continue. And the lesson that I'm sharing with you now is the lesson that I am receiving, and that I wish to myself to be able to remember and to practice in my daily life. Because I do not have my teacher as close and as available as he used to be, I will turn back to my brothers and sisters in the Sangha. And I would ask them, please tell me. Tell me if you see anything that I can correct, transform. And I truly wish and hope that my brothers and sisters will be there to shine light for me. And they do. They are my fellow younger Dhamma teacher brothers and sisters. And I always invite them to please share. Let me know if you see anything in me that you think I can correct or transform. And I'm looking up and I'm looking out, I'm reaching out, I'm asking them to tell me. And that is what we can do to one another in order to be a true Sangha, in order to help one another in our path of practice. I spent a lot of time last summer with my brothers and sisters in Montreal at the Montreal Practice Center. And before I left, I have encouraged them to be together more often. To be together as a Sangha of practice, to organize themselves so that they can be together, to practice together, to improve their relationship and to become true brothers and sisters in the practice. Because in Montreal we have a very big center. The center that you can see now on screen is a 3,000 square feet. That is costing us a lot of money. And it is also a very active Sangha. We are hosting now 2 days of mindfulness a month, 3 yearly retreat, weekend retreat. We are having 3 or 4 evening of meditation and various workshops during the daytime. And so the brothers and sisters are very busy organizing and serving. And I have I'm very so very grateful for their presence there, to be able to serve the community in Montreal so well. And I had to remind them that the most important people that we need to look at is ourselves. And how can we best take care of ourselves? Is by it's with our practice. Because if we are there to serve, our service only has a meaning if we are practicing with the Diamond Sutra that we are learning right now. And in the Diamond Sutra, there are some notions, some important notions that I would like to share with you. The first notion is about the notion of a bodhisattva. The Diamond Sutra is a sutra that is addressed to bodhisattva. And bodhisattva are those beings that are motivated by a very great desire to help others, the bodhicitta. And how it is that we can cultivate that bodhicitta? It is by being in touch with suffering, by being in touch with people who are in suffering. We practice love, we practice self-love, we practice being in touch with our suffering where it is, and we practice the deed and on the path of the bodhisattvas. And in the Diamond Sutra, there's also a very clear definition of a bodhisattva. So bodhisattvas are those beings that are motivated by that great desire to help. And a true bodhisattva in the Diamond Sutra is a bodhisattva that has attained non-discrimination. And non-discrimination is that wisdom that Thay has described and taught us in so many beautiful ways. The right hand and the left hand. And I don't know if you remember that story of the white right hand holding a hammer and the left hand holding the nail, and the right hand missing the nail, hitting the other hand. And it is so beautiful to be able to see our Sangha, our friends, our brothers and sisters being right hand and left hand to one another. Helping one another under difficult conditions, supporting one another. And non-discrimination. That wisdom that make a bodhisattva is also a wisdom and an insight that we want to cultivate with our practice, our daily practice. And practicing according to the Diamond Sutra, our teacher has taught us that it is about, like all Buddhist teaching, a way to for us to overcome our suffering. And if it is not about our own suffering, then it is not a Buddhist teaching. And if we are studying and practicing the Diamond Sutra, we again need to do it in that with that aim, practicing in the way, in the light of the Four Noble Truths. Starting with the first one, this is my suffering. Practicing with the seven factors of enlightenment, investigative discrimination. This is my suffering, and where does it come from? What make it, and how can I get out of it? How can I transform it? How I can free myself from it? So coming back to the practice, it is about the practice of the First Noble Truth. It is the practice of being able to identify and to be in and to be with our own suffering. To practice diligently in order to be able to look at in our daily life from our habit energies, listening to our brothers and sisters who will be kind enough, loving enough to let us know about what they can see in us, and that we may have been always trying to cover up and to avoid. In the same way, my teacher, seeing how young, unskillful, unmindful, and just stopping me and telling me with his loving smile to put my slippers on the other door. Me, if I were a better student, would have received that teaching. Try to understand what the teaching was about and to practice with it instead of replying instantly. Making up or rewriting the scenario in order to cover up for something that was so obvious and that I did not see, did not want to see, even when my teacher was telling me. So the Diamond Sutra is about helping us to transform or to overcome our suffering with the removal of notions. And the Diamond Sutra speaks about the four notions that need to be removed and that are causing us suffering. The first notion that the Diamond Sutra teaches us to look into is the notion of self. So the notion of self, the notion of non-self, and the notion of Nirvana. Our notions we have been studying and discussing about very often with the study of the Prajnaparamita Sutra that we have done together, with the three Dhamma seals, with the study of the notion of interbeing, and self and no self, and Nirvana. Have been taught over and over by our teacher. Um, And it is our, my training, my in my daily life, I am trying to look at what is happening around me. Through the lens of no self. And I am saying that I'm trying. Because it is a constant effort. And it is so easy. Well, it is not, oh, it is so counter nature to be able to do that. I am very fast at no, I can catch myself more often than not reacting. And so the practice of silence is the practice that I am trying to adapt and to practice more often. So that I can more easily catch myself before I do something or say a word. And I don't know if you remember in one of the earlier talk of this series, when I was mentioning to you about the example of a noise becoming a disturbance during a meditation session, and how a noise is becoming can lead into thinking and action, and to apply that process in every situation that we are encountering in the day is an endless and can give rise to many wonderful opportunity of practice. And if I can catch myself 2 or 3 times a day reacting, I will be so happy at night. And I know that the 2 or 3 times that I can catch myself are only 2 and 3 out of maybe a other hundreds that I have missed. So the practice of slowing down, the practice of silence, the practice of identifying ideas before they become speech and action is my practice, and it is a practice that I am also inviting you to consider. With your Sangha, with the help of your Sangha. It is now almost time for us to depart, and I would like to close this talk, maybe. With some late wishes, I don't know if I have the chance to wish you a happy new year 2013. So my best wishes to you for a very happy 2013. Very successful in your practice. And in Vietnam right now, many of the streets are all littered up. All the stores are operating full speed. We are the whole city of Ho Chi Minh is in preparation for the new year, which is only 2 weeks from now. And it is so beautiful. It is something that I wish you were here and that we can all share together, walking together in the flower markets and in the all those beautiful markets. And so I will not be with you for the new year. I will be in Thailand in our new monastery for the new year preparation and for the new year celebrations there. I will see you again after that in February. And until then, please be diligent in your practice. Thank you. Good night. Good day.
Thank you, Brother Chen Wei, for your love and your diligent commitment to our Sangha and your beautiful Dharma talk. If we can perhaps ask the Montreal Practice Center to invite Abel, please. Give me a moment for me to unmute you first.